Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of some of the programming and the promotions here at Capital OTB. Appreciate their sponsorship during their championship meet, which continued underway yesterday. Let me just see if I can pull up here results from yesterday. I put together a little rainbow ticket with the mandatory yesterday at Gulfstream. I had four winners and a couple of second place finishes. It was close. It was certainly a haveable sequence. I'm just pulling up our results here. And it paid decently, as expected. They put, at last count I saw, I think 5 million. But let me just check here on the chart, actually. Yeah, 5 million in the pool. Paid 14,000. And it was very haveable. $9 winner in the last race, $6 winner, $9 winner. 23 was the one that was maybe a little bit tough. And a $9 winner. And 10 dollar winner kicked off the sequence, Henny Penny. So again, the $23 winner was the one you had to search for a little bit. If you got that one, you were certainly right in the mix for again $14,000 for your 20 cents yesterday with the mandatory at Gulfstream Park. Hope you hit it. As I said yesterday, bring a little of that money back up here to the Capital District, and we'll hit on one of the races in the sequence in our stakes recap segment, Tropical Turf yesterday at Gulfstream. That'll be coming up in a few. Stakes day yesterday was a little bit light across the country. There was a couple of graded stakes out in Southern California, the La Cienega and the La Cañada. We'll hit on both of those as well, but otherwise it was a little bit quiet. Given that it was a little bit quiet, I reached back to last Sunday, because obviously last Sunday morning we recapped Saturday stakes, didn't get a chance to look at some of the Sunday action, but there was a nice little stake at Aqueduct that will have some implications tomorrow on the sales side, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to show it. It was a scratch reduced field in last Sunday afternoon's La Verdad at Aqueduct, but it was Mrs. Orb, and it's Mrs. Orb kind of interesting in that, boy, you talk about stuck in a bridesmaid mode. She had been stuck. Second in the previous race in the Bay Ridge, second in the Turn Back the Alarm, second in the Empire Distaff, second up at Saratoga in the Union Avenue, second in the Critical Eye before that. So in six starts in 2020 prior to kicking off 2021 last week. She was 5 seconds in six starts. So as I say, you talk about stuck in a bridesmaid mode, but she subsequently faced this scratch reduced field last week, and Mrs. Orb, the number five horse, gets it done in the La Verdad. Chart margin winds up to be a length. You can see they're right here. This is a ding dong battle as they enter the stretch, but she pulls away at 5-1. The favorite was Sharp Star, 2-5, the number six horse, who ding-dongs it here for a while, but again, Mrs. Orb winds up pulling away late a little bit for Mike Maselli, Dylan Davis on board, and paying $12.20 to start 2021, breaking out, becoming a bride, and breaking out of the bridesmaid mode that she was stuck in for most of 2020. But as I say, this plays a little bit into tomorrow, because tomorrow at Keeneland, you can see there's her sales page. She is hip number 363 in a Horses of Racing Age sale down at Keeneland. So that a nice way to head into the sale. And the last I heard, she was still entered. You know, you come out of a race and you win. Will they reconsider? Well, subsequent, you know, follow-up articles after the race said the game plan was still to send her to the sale. And that was the last I heard. A lot of black type on the page, as you can see there. So coming off a little stakes victory, and certainly those stakes placings from last year don't hurt either. Mrs. Orb, when the calendar turned, became a six-year-old mare with the purse the other day, probably about, I'm guessing, $450,000 in the bank. And as I say, heads to Keeneland through the auction ring tomorrow after coming out of a little bit of a stakes victory last Sunday at Aqueduct. And as I say, I pulled that up because stakes otherwise were a little bit light around the country yesterday. But that one also with the interesting tie-in tomorrow, we'll keep our eyes open and check out and see what she draws at auction, hip number 363. And you know, these days you can go to the Keeneland website. You can pull up live video during the day if you're kind of hanging out tomorrow. It might be interesting to see what Mrs. Orb does attract, hip 363 tomorrow at Keeneland in the Horses of Racing Age sale. All right, let's get to this week. And again, light on the stakes action, but there was a little state bred stakes race yesterday at Aqueduct, the Safe Florida Sandy, field of five entered. I like Funny Guy. I've liked Funny Guy since that Morrissey back at Saratoga. That was a follow-up win after a nice win down at Belmont in the commentator. So strung a couple together, then ran fourth in that rain-dampened four-go that was won by Win, 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 subsequently second in the Vosburgh, fourth in the Empire Classic. But coming into yesterday's race, Funny Side had won the New York Stallion Series back on November 22nd. So I like Funny Side. Betting public agreed as the 4-5 favorite. Funny Side's the number one horse, but it's Our Last Buck, the number two. Nice late run under Kendrick Carmouche for Michelle Nevin. Michelle Nevin also had My Boy Tate, who was coming back on a week's rest after a disappointing beaten favorite finish in the Gravesend. My Boy Tate's the number three horse, who winds up running fourth in here. But the other Michelle Nevin at 6-1 gets it done. It is Our Last Buck. Chart margin there, just under four lengths. So nice performance from Our Last Buck as the third choice in the field of five under Kendrick Carmouche. Picks up the Safe Florida Sandy yesterday and the better part of a $100,000 purse. So congratulations around to the connections there. As I said, there was a stakes race in the midst of that rainbow mandatory yesterday down at Gulfstream, and it was the tropical turf. Nice field. It was hurt a little bit by the scratch of Analyze It, the Chad Brown, Bill Lawrence runner that has shown some talent throughout the career, but that one came up with a quarter crack, so sat on the sidelines. I liked Frostmourne, the number five horse in this one. That horse went off at 3-1 as the third choice. First two choices wound up to be Ride a Comet, the number three horse, and number two Casa Creed for our friend Lee Einsiedler. Ride a Comet was a slight 2-1 favorite over also a 2-1, but a little more of a second choice, Casa Creed. They came down the stretch and duked it out. Again, it is number three, Ride a Comet, number two, Casa Creed. Frostmourne, the number five, who I liked and was the third choice, winds up third in here. A little bit disappointing getting past late in the stretch, but you can see nice little stretch duel there and grinding, just getting up over Casa Creed was Ride a Comet for Mark Cassie. Tyler Gaffleone on board. Betting public nails that one. Got it right. I was not enamored with Ride a Comet, so that was one of the races where I ran second in the Rainbow Six. But clearly, again, it was a haveable sequence, and I said, as I say, I was not enamored with Ride a Comet. Betting public was. So certainly a very haveable horse in a haveable sequence down there at Gulfstream in the Rainbow Six. And as I noted earlier, I hope somebody here got it. For that sequence, the $23 horse was really the only one you had to get, but you wound up with $14,000. That was a nice afternoon of handicapping for the folks who came up with that one. So, again, hoping somebody locally did. All right, let me turn the page now and look at some of our other stakes action. Again, it was a little bit of a light day, but they did have kind of a fun stake down at Fairgrounds yesterday. Next weekend, we talked about it with our colleague Brian Addo yesterday, who is based down at Fairgrounds, takes a look for us on Saturdays at some Gulfstream, actually, because that's his track as far as the handicapping sheet, the one sheet. But we talked some Fairgrounds with him yesterday because next week is next Saturday, big stakes weekend down at the Fairgrounds, which has been drawn. You can pull up PPs and get into it. It'll be steps along the Derby Trail and the Oaks Trail, some other nice stakes and divisions as well. We'll talk about that more certainly next weekend. But yesterday, it was just a little 5.5 furlong turf stake, the Menard Memorial. The favorite was Into Mystic, and that one for Brendan Walsh, coming off a second place finish in the Panzeretta down at Fairgrounds beginning of December. Finished second behind LZ. LZ was also entered yesterday, and running third in the Panzeretta last time was Winning Envelope, who was also entered yesterday. Into Mischief, the number three horse. LZ, the number four horse, again coming out of a 1-2 finish in the Panzeretta. Flip-flop in the Menard Memorial yesterday, with Into Mystic getting it done under Flojo Florent Giroux for Brendan Walsh. Went off as the 6-5 favorite at 7-2 second choice LZ, despite having beaten Into Mystic last time. Change of control to number five, third, and Winning Envelope, the number one, finishes fourth. But you can see, pretty easy victory for Into Mystic, a length victory. Betting Public nails it. Again, despite this one having run second to LZ last time, Betting Public was still on board. Beaten favorite last time. So the Betting Public was not going to be fooled and let that one get away. Send it off as the favorite again yesterday, and that yesterday got it done in the Menard Memorial. As I say, Florent Giroux on board, and nice performance there for LZ. Four-year-old filly, you know, bona fide turf sprinter. I say all the time, it's kind of a specialty, turf sprinting. This horse is now, what, 4-6. Nice little Kentucky bred daughter of City Zip, four-year-old daughter of City Zip. Bought at auction as a weanling for $7,000. And now with yesterday's purse up near $200,000 in earnings for the first eight starts of the career. So nice buy, nice auction purchase for that one. As a weanling, you have to put a little money in before they get to the races, and you get to see the fruits of your investment. But it did turn out to be very fruitful for them. Let's move on now. Again, they had a couple of graded stakes out in Southern California. And we'll start things out with the La Cañada. This one for four-year-old up fillies and mares, going a mile and a 16th on the main track. Favorite at 4-5 was Fighting Mad. And that one winds up a disappointing fifth in the field of seven. And it was kind of an upset for the Exactus. At 7-1, it was number five, Saninus, who gets it done. Miss Stormy D, the six, runs second at 14-1. Hard Not to Love, from our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, winds up third in here as the second choice at 3-1. But boy, it is not really a contest here down the stretch. The chart margin there was six lengths for a Chilean-bred horse who had started the career in Chile and came to the United States and started racing back in August. Had run third at Del Mar, third again at Churchill Downs on the move over there. Then last time tried the Chaluki at Churchill behind Finite. Wound up second in there. So since coming to the United States, a couple of thirds and a second place finish, and now moves out to back out to Southern California at Santa Anita, and just looks very convincing in the La Cañada yesterday, as I say, winning by a chart margin of six lengths for Mike McCarthy and company. Again, on board there, Umberto Rispoli. We've talked about as a jockey that is worth watching. If you don't pay attention to Southern California, been an up-and-comer for the last year or so now. And he's one of those guys that has enough now that he, when the pandemic ends, he'll start moving around with stakes horses. If you don't follow Southern California racing, you may not have latched on to him yet, but you will, because he'll become a name as folks move around, worth watching a little bit. And finally, the Las Anienegas, out in Southern California, grade three event, fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up, six furlongs on the turf. The favorite here was Jolie Olympica at even money, the number seven horse, but the second choice was Alexandra, who was coming out of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, wound up running ninth in there, but with that on the resume and some nice stakes races underneath as well, and won the Jiper at Belmont previously. So that was a pretty nice performance. Again, she took some action yesterday as the second choice at 5-2, but she clipped heels early in the race. So Alexandra, you can see loose horse there at the back of the pack. Joel Rosario was on board. The reports after the race were that he was okay, which is good news. You can see the horse is still running down the stretch, Alexandra. But eventual winner was Charmaine's Mia, 16-1. Two and a half length margin at the end. Jolie's Olympica, the favorite, got up and ran second. Lighthouse runs third there under the wire, but is eventually disqualified from third down to fifth in that one. So Superstition, the number five horse, moves up. But Charmaine's Mia gets it done. $35.40 for Phil D'Amato. Drayden Van Dyke on board. And again, the race kind of marred a little bit when the second favorite, Alexandra, clipped heels, dumped the rider. But as I say, the post-race reports were that Joel Rosario was okay. Joel Rosario, of course, based out in Southern California for the winter. Where he has spent the last, you know, that's where he made his name, really, out in Southern California. And then he's come to New York most of the year in New York. But wintertime, he tends to head out to Southern California, where a lot of, most of the New York, the big-name New York riders head down to the Florida. But Joel Rosario heads to Southern California, which for years has been a tough jockey colony to crack for East Coast riders. I mean, Mike Smith is probably one of the notable guys who did it over the years. Other very big names have tried. It's a little bit of a different situation out there, but it's still tough to make your name out there. But Joel Rosario, I think, given that he started out there, still maybe has enough connections and whatnot that he can go out in the wintertime and make it work, as he has over the past few seasons. But again, we're happy that the reports after the race yesterday were that he was okay, and will be back riding sooner rather than later. I think he took off, that was the next to the last race of the day. I think he might have taken off the last mile, but again, the reports were that he went to first aid and was okay. All right, that takes us through, again, a limited stakes calendar yesterday across America. And as I noted, next week we'll have plenty more to talk about with the big card down at the fairgrounds. And again, we are now also kind of ramping up our Derby Trail conversation, and that'll certainly be included in that fairgrounds conversation next week as they launch their Derby Trail. And last weekend we kind of did launch in New York, in Florida, and out in Southern California, Life is Good, Mutus Abik, and Capo Cane at those three venues. Got things on the road, you know, New York, Florida, and Southern California. So, again, you know, knock wood, things start to come back to normalcy. The game plan is first Saturday in May will be the Derby this year. So we hope things are a little more normal than they were last year. And certainly by the middle of the year and as we get into summertime, we're hoping things are as back to normal as we can hope for. We'll see if that works out. But one thing that will be normal with the Derby the first Saturday in May, the road to the Triple Crown will have that same juice that it normally has. And again, we kicked it off last week in a few venues, and next week down at the fairgrounds, looking forward to that. But as I say, it was a little light stakes-wise this week across the country. You took a look at what happened, so we'll head to a break. We'll come back. When we come back, we'll take a little handicapping look at Sunday afternoon, look a little Tampa, maybe a little Aqueduct as well. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, if you want to watch some playoff football action, Clubhouse Racebook is the place to do it. Come on down, watch all the football playoff action and all the racing action as football Sundays continue here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Yesterday, phew, it was close, but Buffalo held on for their first playoff victory in quite a while. That was fun. They actually had some fans in the stadium. Through the governor's office, they've been talking about that for a couple of weeks. I guess folks had to be pre-tested. It was certainly a very limited crowd, but they're talking about that as maybe a model for moving forward with some outdoor sports fans in attendance at various venues, as I say, going forward. But it was fun to watch Buffalo get it done there. Then again, they had to hold late, and that was a fumble. That was a fumble at the end of the game. Even with the replay, I think the refs missed that one. And if you didn't see, there was a reception. Indianapolis, I almost said Baltimore. That's showing my age. Receiver was on the ground, but no defender was near. So he got up as two defenders came, and both knees came off the ground. The video evidence seemed pretty conclusive that it was before he got touched. So he was starting to run again, and then he fumbled the ball. Refs had ruled him down. They reviewed it and then held with the he was down call. But I think the game was over before it was over, as it were, with the call. And then last night, my Syracuse gets it done. How about Dolezal with the – they said he lost. And I meant to read this morning to check it. Right towards the end of the game, there was a little – I don't think it was necessarily intentional under the basket. One of the Syracuse players, Dolezal, who is one of their main guys, immediately ran back to the bench, and I thought, why is he heading to the bench? There was a foul called, and then they showed the shot, and they said he lost a tooth. I couldn't quite tell. I meant to check the follow-up this morning to see if that was the case. He had certainly taken a shot. That was clear. But he stayed in the game and kept playing. There was a minute and a half left or so, and being one of the main players, and it was a close game, and it was Georgetown, and that's why I bring it up. As a Syracuse guy, I always like to gloat a little bit after a win against Georgetown. It doesn't have quite the same meaning it did in the Big East days, but still nice to get the win over Georgetown. And so congratulations to Syracuse yesterday for that. All right, let's do a little Pick Four Mania. We'll take a look at some Pick Fours at Tampa, then take a break and move on some Pick Fours at Aqueduct as well. But the first Pick Four, and again, at Tampa, that early Pick Four debate depends on how many races are in the day. Today, we have the early Pick Four at Tampa kicking off in race number two, second race at Tampa. Nice little race. Have Shug McGahee bringing in a horse, Arno Delacour, Mike Maker, Tommy Proctor. It's only a field of six, but on the grass for optional claimers, I have it 4, 1, 2, and 3, and I put Shug Sentry on top. I think class-wise, coming down most recently from Belmont, but before that had tried an optional claimer at Kentucky Downs. I think class-wise, this horse is going to stack up nicely is the point. Shug Trainee that is based over at Gulfstream, but they looked at the condition book and saw this race over here, and I think class-wise, again, the venue move is going to be beneficial. Sentry on top. Talk or Listen goes out for Arno Delacour. This was a horse that was based over in Europe. for much of the early portion of the career. Now a newly turned five-year-old for Arnaud Delacour and Lyell Stables. A couple of starts under the belt so far in the United States. Tried a stakes race at Laurel last time. That was early in September. That's maybe the question mark. There's a little bit of a layoff, but there's a steady string of workouts underneath. I think this one will be ready and be competitive. And Eon's in the third spot. Another Arnaud Delacour runner. This one has had a steady string of stakes races going back, three, six, seven races. The last few, maybe not super competitive, but again, they were against better. I mean, we're looking at horses like, you know, Arklow and Social Paranoia and those types. So again, like the top pick, I think Eon's class-wise is going to find this group a little bit more to his liking, perhaps. So in the opening leg of the early pick four at Tampa, I have it 4, 1, 2, and 3. Race number 3 at Tampa, maiden 25 claimers, 5, 2, 3, and 6. Grim Hild on top. It's Gerald Bennett with a horse that this is one of these that I always, you have to put the qualifier on, has an edge, has some pretty good numbers, comparatively speaking. And the first couple of starts, the numbers improved. The number fired last time was a good number compared to this bunch of those that have run. There are three first-time starters. They could be anything. I have a couple of them in the mix. But of those that have run, yeah, Grimhild probably stands out, again, off of that last number, which in and of itself isn't great, but compared to these is okay. La Chica Lateral for Kathleen O'Connell, a first-time starter by Chitu. Maybe a little bit interesting in the debut. The workouts aren't giving any clue necessarily, but it's Kathleen O'Connell. And again, I think there's maybe a little bit of breeding there. Beto's Girl in the third spot. Debuted over at Gulfstream the middle of August, sprinting on the turf against maiden specials. Now gets that time off. So sometimes these horses will get a little education in the debut. They get a break for whatever reason. I think a lot of times they can come back a little more mature and improved. We'll see if that's the case for this one. We're also getting the class relief that I think can move the horse forward, maiden special weight to maiden claimer. So race number 3 at Tampa, 5, 2, 3, and 6. And I will say, in a weak field like this, not a super amount of confidence there. I think the betting public is going to, on the odds board, will show a lot of confidence for Grimhild, being Gerald Bennett, being the number fired last time. But it's a weak enough number. And again, with some of these firsters maybe having potential, I'm not quite as confident as I'm guessing the 5 is going to take quite a bit of action. I'm not quite that confident. Have it on top, but we'll see. In the 4th, the Tampa maiden 16 claimers going 5.5. I have it 8, 6, 4, and 1. I put Unleash Me on top. First time starter from Gerald Bennett. Sold earlier this year at a 2-year-old sale for $10,000. Debuts now for 16. And, you know, normally a horse debuting for 16, you know, you look at the breeding and whatnot and you're skeptical. But normally when I'm looking at these kind of races, you know, you're looking at maiden special weight event maybe, and horses that were purchased at auction for $100,000, and so now they debut for $16,000. The question marks abound. They bought this horse for $10,000, and I like that they debut for $16,000. They're moving up essentially, and it's Gerald Bennett and Sammy Camacho. Again, string of workouts don't necessarily say anything. The early December workouts were okay though, and again with this team and. Yeah, a little bit of uncaptured on top, so a little bit of breathing there. We'll tilt towards Unleash Me. Second slot, Frankie Z. A couple of starts so far. They've been okay. Showed a little punch last time on the move from Delaware down to Tampa. Showed some punch before fading. May benefit from that one and move forward. And a son of Constitution, Dreaming of Gus, at 10-1, a little bit interesting, but it's a son of Constitution that they paid $8,000 for. So, and the auction price might be hinting a little bit at this horse is not your typical Constitution offspring. We'll see. Little Dude is going to clearly take some action with the numbers fired. It's a horse that has had 6 tries and hasn't gotten it done yet. But again, finds a field that can break through. So I wouldn't even argue against that one, the one horse, if you wanted to go a little bit deeper as well. In the 4th at Tampa, 8, 6, 4, and 1. And wrapping up the early pick 4 at Tampa, race number 5, conditional claimers, mile and 16th on the grass. I have it 7, 9, 4, and 11. number 7B major. Moved from Gulfstream in the early part of September to over to Gulfstream Park West in the early part of November. So we were off for a couple of months. And then from that East Coast over to the West Coast, Gulfstream Park West in November to Tampa in December. And did not find that venue class relief that I like in a similar event last time. Ran an okay fourth, but you know, you would have thought a little bit of a better performance at a 2-to-1 price. But I just think this horse is maybe better than we saw last time and maybe benefits from the start over the track. It's Joe Orsino. Antonio Gallardo was on board last time, back on board again today. He's having a very good meet again. I think B major is a little bit better than we've seen. I'll give this one more try to break through over here at Tampa. Bucks Investment in the second spot. The numbers fired since arriving at Tampa from Finger Lakes and moving to the turf. Interesting, you know, obviously up at Finger Lakes was on the dirt, but even earlier this year was on the dirt down at Tampa. But came back down to Tampa and a couple of starts in December, moved to the turf at this class level, a third and a second. So a couple of good tries. Castanon was on board, back on board again today. Given what we saw in the last two starts, have to have that one in the mix. And then General in the third spot. Hasn't been seen since March. That's the big question mark. At this level, not going to shock me if this horse needs a start. That said, did lay off from May until September of last year. So essentially took off the vast majority of the summer, and the comeback was a nice win. So has been on the sidelines in the past for probably a little bit of a shorter time, but still it was a time away from the races and was successful on the comeback. So General, also interesting. Sammy Camacho electing to ride. That attracted my attention as well. In the fifth of Tampa, again, wrapping up that early pick four, 7, 9, 4, and 11. Over at Tampa in the sixth race, we'll kick off again. We're doing a little pick four mania here, looking at both the picks at Tampa. And again, we'll look at Aqueduct as well after a break. But Tampa's late pick four kicks off in race number six. 8,000 conditional claimers, $8,000 conditional claimers. 4, 6, 9, and 8, Company Store on top. Goes out for Kevin Rice. Moved over to Tampa last time. Had been in the barn of Safi Joseph at Gulfstream, but the move to Tampa against a little bit better last time was a decent second place finish at 9-2. So took some action, ran to it with a good second place finish. I think that the next step down the claiming ladder should be the Tonic that moves this horse forward. Company Store on top. Sir Thaddeus in the second spot. Kathleen O'Connell runner has plenty of early speed. Tried this type, broke the maiden at 16-2 back. Tried this 16 N2L last time and went out and showed some early speed. And it was legit speed, 22 and change, 45 and change, 57, and then had the right to fade a little bit. There are other horses in here with a little bit of early speed. Not too many, though, and I'm not sure the kind of early speed that is going to lead to that kind of a potential pace meltdown. So Sir Thaddeus may be in a little bit of a better position today with the early speed. May not get pushed quite as much early and maybe a little bit tougher and likely to get back to what we saw two back with the front end score and the maiden breaker. So number six, Sir Thaddeus in the mix. And Concilium in the third spot. Nice win last time to break the maiden. But career start number 27. Can the horse take 27 to break the maiden and then come right back and put in a solid performance? I think we can get a solid enough performance to be in the hunt. I'm not sure whether we'll get a win, but sometimes they do string a couple together. It's just, boy, it took this one a long time to get that initial win. As I say, I think the horse is in a good enough form right now to be in there. I'm not sure about the win, but we'll see. As I say, sometimes they get the wake-up call, and boom, they're off to the races. No pun intended. But in the sixth at Tampa, 4, 6, 9, and 8. Seventh race at Tampa, $25,000 conditional claimers, 8.5 furlongs on the grass, 9, 2, 5, and 4. The number 9 being Beach Bar. Sammy Camacho on board. He was on board last time for a nice win at the N2L level. And this may be an example of just what I was talking about. This horse took 7 starts to break the maiden, broke the maiden 2 starts back, got to that N2L condition, not just went through convincingly as the 7-5 favorite last time, won by almost 7 lengths, now moves the next condition. I don't know. I think the way the horse broke through the N2L last time, maybe the horse can get 3 in a row. You know, having taken 7 to finally break the maiden, now is in a little bit of a run here. We'll see, but I'll put Beach Bar on top to go 3 in a row. Make Me Dream in the second spot. Certainly the numbers this one fires are consistently a solid match with these. Came over from the East Coast of Florida last time. Tried an okay fourth, but did it against better. So I think at Tampa, with that race under the belt to kind of kick off the season, a couple of good performances at Tampa earlier in the career, say this horse likes the track and ran well last time, but did it against better. With the class relief today, Make Me Dream is going to be very tough in here. And Bocce, the number 5 horse, a horse with a lot of early speed that could prove to be very dangerous for Gerald Bennett with the speed. And, you know, you look at the rest of the field, this 5 horse may be the speed. This is one of those where we will know by the time we hit the backstretch, you know, you go through that clubhouse turn, if Bocce has opened, you know, a couple of lengths, might be tough to reel in. So, you know, to put together a pick 4 ticket, I would probably be using at least all 3 of those, and even Act Like Artie coming out of the win in the N2L condition last time off the claim. This one, class-wise, may be moving in against a little bit tougher. I wouldn't feel comfortable unless I went 3 deep. You can make the case for Act Like Artie, but I'd probably be okay using the 9-2 and the 5, but they're all eligible. In the 7th at Tampa, 9-2, 5, and 4. 8th race at Tampa, optional claimer, non-winners are 1 other than 3, 4, 6, and 8, Duchess of Sussex on top. It's a Grand Motion trainee. Question mark here is the surface. This is a Grand Motion trainee that in 7 starts in the career has made 6 starts on turf and 1 start on synthetic, so now tries the dirt. But had a dirt workout 3 days ago on the 7th at Tampa that was a pretty good workout. There are some other dirt workouts at Tampa as well. They don't really signal anything, but I thought the last workout at 3 furlongs, 36 and change, says that this may not be an obstacle. And class-wise, I think the horse is going to fit very nicely. So I'll go with Duchess of Sussex with the big question mark on the move to dirt. I mean, this one could go either way. Lucky Find in the 2nd spot, Tommy Proctor runner, comes down and tries Tampa Company after a Mid-Atlantic. There's actually a couple of Kentucky starts as well. Started the career at Churchill, then Ellis, but then Presque Isle, Delaware, and Laurel in the last 3 starts. So, again, comes down most recently from the Mid-Atlantic for Tommy Proctor, and those were all pretty good starts. So I think class-wise, this horse is a nice fit as well. And then Russian Roulette. Picked up Sammy Camacho last time on the move to Tampa, and Camacho got this one a very nice win. It gets maybe a little bit lesser, another optional claiming class, you know, one step down. But again, did it in a fashion that says should fit with this group nicely as well. So the 8th at Tampa, 3, 4, 6, and 8. And at Tampa on Sunday afternoon to wrap up the action for the day and for that late pick 4. 9th race on the grass for $16,000 conditional claimers. I have it 1, 7, 8, and 10. Milburn on top. Sammy Camacho on board. He was on board last time on the move from Hawthorne down to Tampa for a close-up third-place finish as the beaten favorite. I'll give this horse another shot, right, you know, in a very similar race to what happened last time where the horse ran well with that one under the belt. And again, having done well in similar company, Milburn on top. In it for the love. In the 2nd spot, broke the maiden in career start number 12 last time for a 16 tag. Now move 16 N2L. So it's not a super move class-wise. Should fit nicely with this bunch and is in good form off the 2 starts so far at Tampa, which are clearly improved efforts. Clearly has shown an affinity for the cooking down in the Tampa area. Fly Knightley in the 3rd spot, Michael Stidham trainee with Gallardo on board, who also has a couple of good starts since arriving at Tampa this season from a summer campaign at Monmouth. So another one that should be a player in here. So wrapping up that late pick four at Tampa, race number 9, 1, 7, 8, and 10. All right, we'll take another break when we come back. Again, a little pick four mania to wrap up Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. We'll shift our attention and take a look at Aqueduct after the break. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio, and this afternoon we will be back in for OTB Live. Going to take a look at a little Gulfstream, a little Tampa, a little Aqueduct. I was just pulling up to make sure when things will kick off. And yes, today Gulfstream post time is 12:05. At Aqueduct will kick off at about 12:20, and at Tampa 12:42. First post time. I'll take a look at those three tracks. We'll have more here on the network during the afternoon as well, but giving you a head start on Aqueduct. Again, as we go through some pick four action here at Tampa and Aqueduct, we looked at Tampa a little earlier, looking at Aqueduct here now with the two pick fours. And I just pulled up the scratches. At this point, one scratch at Aqueduct. It's notable. It was my top pick in the fifth race, number 6, Teetotalers out. Chad Brown runner for Peter Brandt scratched. That was going to be my top pick in the fifth. So we'll move up some picks now. But at this point, that is the lone scratch listed in New York at Aqueduct. We kick off the early pick four at the Big A with a $35,000 conditional claimer, 7 furlongs the trip. And in race number 2, I have it the 1 entry, 3, 6, and the 2 entry. Bad Guy and Not That Brady on top for me in this race as the entry. Probably I'm similar on both of them. Sometimes you can tilt towards one over the other. There's some backlash for Not That Brady, although the last couple of races, and those were the lone two starts in 2020, they weren't as good. So given that scenario, is Not That Brady the Not That Brady that we see further down the page, the numbers I'm looking for? Well, drops in for the conditional tag today. We'll see. But again, I'm probably similar on both of these in that there's question marks also for Bad Guy in that, 8 of the last 9 races are, 7 of the last 8 races are turf races. They're pretty good. They're nice closing efforts. That said, the off-the-turf race that's in the mix there, the one out of that last 8, was a good second-place finish on a sloppy track up at Saratoga. The horses run okay on the main track at Aqueduct in the past. So, again, we're kind of looking down the page at some races we hope to get to for both halves of this entry. So as you can maybe decipher, I have some trepidation about the top pick. I think they're both eligible, but they both have some question marks that have to be answered. But the one entry on top, if you're looking for alternatives, perhaps Complexifier becomes the one. This horse was claimed last time at Keeneland, but it was claimed in the middle of October. So that, by Danny Gargan, or for Danny Gargan, moved into the Gargan barn, who is very good off the claim. But did they really claim in the middle of October thinking, let's get an early January start? So you have to wonder if maybe there was a little issue or something. So there's a question mark there as well. But Complexifier, again, with the scenario, the horse has some talent, and with the question marks on the entry, and Complexifier being first off the claim for Danny Gargan, that horse will clearly take plenty of action, and deservedly so. Third spot, we'll go with Smile Brian, Orlando Noda trainee, second off the claim. Claimed the horse back in November off a second place finish. The follow-up in a similar event last time was an okay third place finish. How okay was it, given the fact that this was a 65-cent to a dollar favorite? So again, I have this one down in the third spot. But like the top two, there are certainly races on the page that make this horse very viable for the top spot as well. Both halves of the two entry for Charlie Baker, also intriguing in here as well. It could make the case to go that deep. This is a tough way to quit. Unless you have some confidence in Complexifier. I think some people may just hit the single button so they can go a little deeper later. I just had some question marks that maybe allowed me to tilt in other directions. In the second at Aqueduct, one entry, 3-6, and the two entry. Third race at Aqueduct, State-bred claimers going 6.5. I have a 2-3-7-1 VIP Nation. Plenty of early speed for Rudy Rodriguez, and you would have to think that will be the game plan for Kendrick Carmouche. There are a couple others, maybe Blickton Lady, Awesome Elena, OK Honey, maybe can show some speed, but clearly the speed of the speed seems to be VIP Nation. And as I say, you would think Kendrick Carmouche, that will be the game plan. That all said, the speed has been on the turf, and this horse is far more turf than dirt, at least on the page. There are dirt races, however, underneath, and you know the horse has run okay on the dirt in the past, including right here at Aqueduct. That's kind of what I'm counting on, but again, I'm more looking at the pace scenario in here for this one, just to kind of have a stranglehold on it from the get-go. Blickton Lady, though, is interesting, and I debated because this is an angle I like quite a bit, and given the turf to dirt scenario for VIP Nation, I really looked at Blickton Lady. I talk about it quite a bit. A class move, I think, is very productive. State bred allowance into open claimers. This is a little bit different in that it's state bred allowance into a state bred claimer, but you can make the argument that maybe class wise this is more beneficial. But again, on the class move, I really debated putting Blickton Lady on top. I eventually tilted on the pace to VIP Nation, but I do like the three pretty similarly, and we'll see what the odds shake out as we get to post time. Fair Lassie in the third spot. The race three back, the win at the 10 claiming level was pretty good. Subsequently ran against 20 claimers and was claimed out of that one. And then last time, a salty $50,000 starter. I think dropping back in again, second off the claim for Carl Broberg to a more appropriate state-bred claiming level could put Fair Lassie right in the thick of things here. In the third at Aqueduct, 2-3-7-1. In the fourth at Aqueduct, certainly going to be rooting for our friends at Eddie F's up in Saratoga. Looking forward to them reopening for a new season and going by and getting some fried clams and or a lobster roll. And sounds good. And or a lobster roll up there. But certainly they're fun to watch as well with their stable of Eddie F's Racing. Gary Siaka trained Jasmine Esk. I put that one down in the third spot. Or excuse me, the fourth spot. I originally had it in the third spot, and I X'd and went in the fourth spot. But as I say, I'll be rooting for them. I just wonder if this one isn't a little bit better on turf. But at this level, Jasmine S could be a player. But I went with Fun Finder on top. Class-wise, this one is also getting some relief that I hope moves the horse forward, but it's a question mark. This is a little bit of a dartboard race. Love Me Tomorrow comes in good form. And on that form, I think people may be attracted to this one because some of these others are coming in with races down the page that are okay. The more recent ones are a little bit questionable. This one, however, seems to be in some good and maybe even improving form by the numbers. So Love Me Tomorrow in the mix. And then Ebo Special and Secret Czar, the one entry, also both playable. Secret Czar has a good race last time against a little bit better on the move to Aqueduct. Ebo Special, one of those that the last couple of races are a little bit, but some races down the page are more attractive. So we hope we get to those. In the fourth at Aqueduct, 6-7, the one entry, and 4. And wrapping up the early pick 4 at Aqueduct, again, in this fifth race, I had Teetotaler on top. That one is currently listed as a scratch, the lone scratch on the card at this point at Aqueduct. So I move up 7, 3, and 5. Coffee Bar, Todd Pleasure, second time starter for Mike Rapoli by Outwork. Made an okay third in the debut, number that matches up nicely with this group. I mean, once we got past Teetotaler, and even including Teetotaler, but now that one's no longer in the mix, I think we're pretty evenly matched, to be perfectly honest. Certainly on the buyers, these horses are firing. But with Todd Pletcher and second-time starter, Coffee Bar on top, Valenrand in the second spot, Charlie Baker runner improved nicely, start 1 to start 2 off of that race last time. Any further improvement makes this one very dangerous. And then Stormy Cat Lady in the third spot off a good third place, a nice improved third place finish last time for Rick Schossberg. In the fifth, six is out. 7, 3, and 5. 7, 3, and 5. All right, just quickly pop through the late pick 4 at Aqueduct as we're coming up to the top of the hour. Late pick 4 at Aqueduct kicks off the very next race, race number 6. I have it 4, the one entry, 3 and 7. But this is a rough bunch. I will readily admit, lack of confidence in here. But Citizen Matzo on top. And again, it's one of those, we have to get to some races a little further down the page. And maybe with this extra step of class relief, we can, because, again, it's a rough bunch. So somebody's going to come out, feel their oats a little bit today, and will rebound to a better effort, and they'll just have the edge on this group. This one's interesting, though. I did want to touch on this race because it's an example of, if you didn't hear or read, a quirky rule in New York. The one entry is three horses in here. The plain one, the 1A, and the 1X. The plain one and the 1A are both trained by Wayne Potts and owned by Bruno Schickendance. So entry, understand, got it. The 1X is not trained by the same trainer, not owned by the same owner. But the 1A is written by Katie Davis. The 1X is written by Trevor McCarthy. They are now husband and wife. And so it came out last week that during the winter, horses ridden by Katie Davis and Trevor McCarthy, despite ownership or commonality of trainers, will be coupled because they're married. And people have said, what about brothers, or the Ortiz brothers, and what about boyfriend and girlfriend? They came out and said it's due to a commonality of finances. They assume finances are very similar for husband and wife, which I think is a correct assumption. To avoid the look of hanky-panky, they will couple them. We'll see. To me, they were riding uncoupled down in Maryland when they were down there earlier or at the end of last year. It seems an antiquated kind of a rule. We'll see if maybe it gets a change in New York or not. But for right now, again, this entry in the sixth at Aqueduct is a three-horse entry. And if you're looking at that 1X and saying, why is that part of the entry? That's why. Husband and wife on the 1A and the 1X. So the sixth race at Aqueduct, 4, the one entry, 3 and 7 for me. Seventh race at Aqueduct, 4, 8, 5, and 2. Destination winner's circle. Charlie Baker runner that ran okay in the debut, I think can move forward in the second start of the career. Pay grade, similar situation for the Christophe Clement runner. And nothing's passable. The number 5 horse for Jimmy Jerkins. also could be a little bit interesting off a nice improved effort last time. I think all three of these are kind of interesting players. And Jeremiah Engelhart with Flowers Fortune tossed in a little bit of a dud in the stakes try last time. The race right before that puts that one in the mix. So the seventh at Aqueduct, 4, 8, 5, and 2. The Rego Park, race number 8, stakes action, 3, 4, 8, and 5. Uno on top. Todd Pletcher, trainee, will take a lot of action off the career debut win, which was pretty good. Was on a muddy track. We'll have to see what the horse can do today. Blue Gator has looked pretty good in 3 starts, including a stakes win, 2 back. That all makes Blue Gator very dangerous for Mike Maker. And Perfect Munnings is another Pletcher runner coming off a career debut win that could be interesting, albeit that was on the turf. So we'll get tested on the dirt today for Pletcher and Manny Franco. 8th at Aqueduct, 3, 4, 8, and 5. Race 9 at Aqueduct, 1, 5, 3, and 4. I'll put Bastet on top for Bill Mott. Mostly a turf runner throughout the career, but moved to the dirt last time and just missed. I'll look for more of the same this afternoon. Wishes and Dreams comes in some decent form. Women Not Easy, like the top pick, made a turf to dirt move last time and looked pretty good. But given what we saw last time from Bastet and a little additional class relief today, that one looks very dangerous in the 9th at Aqueduct to complete the card and the late pick 4. So again, a little pick 4 mania there for you at both Tampa and Aqueduct. I'm looking, they're underway. They're about to start talking about race number 1 at Aqueduct with Anthony and Andy. So I'll wrap things up for Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. We'll send it to New York for their pregame show. I'll be back in about an hour with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Stay tuned. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.